it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. I really appreciate the spirit of Lincoln's address to the country in a time rife with suffering, with difficulties, and where I think it was tempting at times to wonder, where was God in all that? Where was God in all that? Oh, my PowerPoint stopped. Should have known. Okay. I'm going to fix that. It's just going to take me a little while. This seems to be kind of normal anymore, so I know how to deal with it. Just give me a few seconds. About another 30 seconds. And I'll start the PowerPoint. Great. Okay. Again, sorry about that, everybody. I think this would have been solved by now, but it just seems to keep happening. Okay, almost there. There we go. Ta-da! All right. So, who here? I know you can't raise your hands, but let's just pretend we're in a room here. Who here is struggling with being thankful right now? I am. I'll just be honest with you. You know, we're going to remember back to 2020, and, you know, we're going to remember some good things. But you know what? For us in America, you know, it's not going to be in our top 10 years. It's been a bit of a tough year. We had the COVID-19 pandemic to kind of get it started off. And then it set about the worst recession in our history since the Great Depression. And then, you know, we had a number of horrifying killings, some by civilians, even some by police, that really rattled the nations. And it caused a lot of marches and protests. And sometimes things got out of hand in ways that we didn't appreciate. But we really got to think a lot about social justice, you know, and then, you know, then we had a pretty divisive political campaign, we had a very divisive political campaign, and no matter where you sit in the political spectrum, it just wasn't a lot of fun. And, you know, it hasn't ended great, you know. We thought we would have moved on from there by now, but that hasn't happened either. And then even personally in our church, you know, Jose Espinosa lost his wife to COVID. Luther lost his sister just a few weeks ago. And other things, other hard things that have happened. It's been a tough year. You know, in the future, we're not going to look back and think, well, that was really so awesome. But you know what? I really believe, brothers and sisters, we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, God has blessed us this year. God has blessed you individually, and God has blessed us as a family here in San Diego. And I remember almost exactly a year ago, probably a year ago, like tomorrow night or something like that, we met, and of course, we had this great Thanksgiving feast together. It was so awesome. We can't do it, and it's frustrating. You know, it's a bummer. But I remember because, you know, Josh and Joel remember this. We were on campus constantly sharing our faith. We had tons and tons of contacts, but really, not that many people came to church, not that many at one time. But that Thanksgiving Wednesday night, I think we had like 12 campus people. And then soon after, I got baptized, and then it just went crazy. And I'm telling you, God has blessed us. Since that time, our campus group has more than doubled. It's been a blessing. You know, this year already, God has helped us to baptize Noel Iglesias. And by the way, I got a letter from Noel. Please don't forget Noel. Remember, he was baptized, and then he went into the Marines, 3 weeks later. And he's doing well, you know, considering the situation. And hopefully we'll get a new address because he's moved on. Christina, don't forget to send me the new address as soon as you get it. But I want to charge as many as possible, even if you don't know Noel. Just send him a letter. Trust me, he needs it. We are his church. He cannot attend. He can't be here physically. But we, bottom line is, we are his church. All right, and so please stay in touch with Noel. Also, Will Morris, talk about, you know, if this is not the most amazing victory. And I'm sorry, Will, it's awesome, but I'm sorry. But having Louis Santiago baptized, I don't know. I don't know what to say. In addition to that, Angelica Phillips, Rachel Ridley, Mary Sheffield, Sarah Chavarria, Lisette Schuler, Vincent Lara, Kaylee Perez, Angelo Johnson. That's a lot of people getting baptized, folks, right in the middle of COVID. Well, except Kaylee. She was pre-COVID. And all of them are faithful. And by the way, Kaylee keeps in regular touch with us. We were kind of nervous, honestly, when she went to Utah. But, you know, she did it right. She's making good contact with the church there. It's going great. And then we've had new members, like Jose placed membership, and the Farleys moved here. Tanisha, who's like a valued part of our church now. Tony and Jeanette were restored. Our church has gone from 55, 56 members up to 70. All right. And all that in spite of the division in the community around us, the worst pandemic in over 100 years, the worst recession in over 80 years. You know what, folks? We have a lot to be thankful for. And you know what? Even if none of these good things had happened, even if no one had been baptized, even if no one had moved here and our church had not grown at all, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we would have a lot to be thankful for. What about the fact that we all have homes to live in? What about our families? What about the church? What about our salvation? You know, how about your grandchildren? How about your health? You know, there's so many things we have to be thankful. Now, I'm going to start on a negative note and then get positive the rest of the time, right? I'm going to talk just really, really briefly about being ungrateful or unthankful. Then I'm going to spend almost the whole time talking about being thankful. Amen? But I'll have you know, in 2 Timothy 3:2, that's one of those sin lists. And it lists sins such as lovers of self, lovers of money, abusive, unholy, unforgiving, slanderous, brutal, and ungrateful. Ungrateful is on that list of pretty serious sins. So I just want to ask you, because all of us have been tempted to be ungrateful. Let's just be honest. All of us have been tempted to be ungrateful this year. But I'm telling you, we have so much to be thankful for. I don't know about your house, but in my house, when it's 105 degrees out, I've got air conditioning. And it never gets cold here. People say it does, but trust me, it doesn't. But when it gets down to 35 or 40 degrees, I have heating. And it heats the whole house. I don't have to sit next to a fireplace. I have food. I have more than enough food. I have brothers and sisters. How could I not be grateful? Oh, yeah, you know, the government and the taxes and, you know, my job and, you know, my roommate and all that kind of stuff. All right, we all have that. And I don't mean to say it's nothing, but folks, how could you not be grateful? And I'm telling you right now, to be ungrateful is to commit a grave sin. All right, I'm not sure your salvation is at stake there. Let's go to Numbers 11. We'll see some people who were being ungrateful, even though being incredibly blessed by God. Numbers 11. I think I might have read this in a different context already. So, You know, I've been here, Jan and I've been here for almost 2 years. By now, I'm going to start recycling some of my favorite scriptures. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way it goes. Numbers 11, 4 through 6. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. And the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Now, we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Think about it. These people were in slavery. And God delivered them with his mighty hand. And he parted the Red Sea. And he set them free. And every single day he lays the table for them with miraculous manna in the morning. And what are they doing? Grateful? Ungrateful. I said, oh man, that was great back then. We had cucumbers and melons and leeks and fish. Yeah, they were enslaved, folks. God has set us free from our sins, free from obligation, free from a life without purpose and meaning and without knowing what God wants us to do. These people, they forgot to be thankful for the little things. We're going to do an exercise at the end of this lesson. We're going to list, you can either write them down and do it mental. I think it'd be better to write down. Write down a list of big things that you're thankful for. But I also want you to write down a list of small things. For them, what was small was manna. Now, that seems crazy to me because it was a miracle every morning. But after a few years, they kind of got bored of it. You know? And I think that God wants us to be grateful for the air that we breathe. You know, I went on a run today. I was over at Windwolves, and you know, I was out in the middle of nowhere. I was just looking around. It was just so beautiful. I'm going down this canyon, and the air was clean and clear. What a blessing. I can just hop in my car and go over there. I'm 65 years old. I'm still able to run 8 miles or whatever. I'm telling you, man, I have a lot to be thankful for. So I'm going to move away from the admonishing here to some extent about not being thankful. And I want to start talking about being thankful. Amen? So what are some of the small things that we tend to not be grateful for? My good friend Mark Wilkinson, we were partners there. He and his wife with Jen and I with the singles in San Diego for several years. And he's one of the most quotable guys. But one of the things he said is he was giving a lesson. It wasn't a Thanksgiving lesson. It was from Ephesians talking about thankfulness. And he made this interesting point. He says, almost all the things we in America complain about, we should actually be thankful for. Think about that for a little bit. I'm not saying everything. All right, but Mark made the point that almost everything that we rich, spoiled Americans complain about, we should actually be thankful for. And yet we don't. You know? We had a contentious election with a lot of people being angry at each other. But guess what, folks? We had an election. We live in a democratic country where we can express our opinion. Now, I'd be thankful if people would do it a little bit less divisively. But you know what? You know, we're stuck in our homes. It's true. But all about you, I've gotten a little bit more rest than usual. And I've gotten caught up on a hobby or two. Maybe not so much, but you know, some of us complain about paying income taxes. Well, how about the fact that you have income to pay taxes on? And the bottom line is, in America, if you're paying income tax, that means you make well past the poverty line. So you're actually, by almost any standard of the world, wealthy, and you're complaining about the taxes. Now, feel free to disagree with the level of taxes. That's a political thing. But I'm saying you should be thankful, not complaining about that. Your car broke down. Yeah, but you got a car. How about that? Shouldn't you be thankful for that? You know, I got to clean my house. Man, it's always getting dirty. Oh, man, it's just, yeah, but you got a house to clean. Pretty nice one. Man, my children are so rebellious. They don't obey me. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Yeah, but you got children to love who love you. You know, even on a more serious note, you know, Jose, he lost the love of his life. You know what, Jose? You had a love of your life. And you can treasure that for the rest of your life. You know, my job doesn't pay enough. Well, at least you have a job. I've got to drive too far. All right, but at least you're able to get there. I really believe this. But Mark said that one time, I really believe it's true. Most of the things we complain about, we really ought to instead be thankful for. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29. I just want to spend some time. You know, this is not a deep theological lesson, folks. This is pretty simple stuff. You could have probably guessed ahead of time what I was going to go over tonight. And, you know, by the way, I'm just going to throw my little opinion out there. Thanksgiving is the most Christian holiday we have. I mean, Christmas, okay. I mean, I guess, because it's mostly commercial and family time, which is great. Easter, you know, the bunny, I guess. But to me, what is, because generally around Thanksgiving, people in America spend some time being thankful. And what is more Christian than being thankful? Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29. We're going to look at somebody in the Bible who was very, very grateful. David is a man after God's own heart, which somebody after God's own heart, I'm telling you right now, is going to be somebody who's grateful for the things that God has given him. So let's read this passage. It's kind of like David's Thanksgiving address, if you will. We already listened to Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving address. Here's part. You could read the whole thing. I don't have time to read the whole thing. It starts in verse 10, and you know it goes on. I'm just going to read 11 verses here. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours." As I finish reading this passage, think for yourself. What is it about David that explains why he can be so thankful? I think you're going to notice it. "Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. Your exalted is head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks and we praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. And we are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all of our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. Lord, our God, all this abundance that you've provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I've given willingly and with honest intent. Now I've seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our father Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep our hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I've provided." Here, the reason Dave is able to sort of, you get the sense the thankfulness is kind of like pouring out of his heart, right? He's not having to kind of go through the motions or do the Thanksgiving lesson the Thursday before Thanksgiving or Wednesday because it's you're supposed to or something like that. He says in verse 14, everything comes from you. David understood. You know, David understood that every good thing he had came from God. And so it helped him to be thankful. He said, we are foreigners and strangers before you. In other words, before God brought us into his family, we were alienated from God. And we were, you know, out in a cold, cruel world. Most of them couldn't care less about us. But God brought us into his family. And he gave us a family. We need to be thankful for that. Another example of thankfulness in the Old Testament, it comes from Leviticus. Now, it's interesting, in Leviticus, they had prescribed sacrifices, prescribed offerings in order to give thanks to God. And interestingly, they had two different sacrifices for forgiveness of sins, but they had three offerings for giving thanks. Right? The Jews were expected to give thanks upon thanks upon thanks. Why? Because as in our flesh, bottom line is we're just not thankful. And, you know, as parents, you know how teenagers are, right? They're just not thankful. It drives you crazy. It's like I've given them everything and they're not grateful. All right. So teens, if you're there, just, you know, you just got called out. You are not very grateful. Now, hopefully you are at least a little bit. Be more grateful. Campus students, you're barely better as a whole. All right? You're not very good at being thankful just because, I don't know, at some point I guess you got to become a parent. Then you kind of, okay, now I understand thankfulness. So young people, anybody under 25, I'm telling you, I'm calling you, especially to think about and be grateful, not just to God, but to the people that God put in your lives. Amen? Yes. So, in Leviticus, they had three different thank offerings. One of them was called the thank offering. So, Leviticus 7, 11 through 15. And basically, it was an offering to thank God for things he's already given us. All right? So basically, thank you, God, that you gave us these things. Then they had the vow offering, and this was an offering where they would thank God for the things they hope he will give to them. Thank you, God, that you're going to do this, and thank you, God, that this is going to happen. And then they had a free will offering, which was basically thanking God just because we're thanking God, just thanking God for what we have. So they thank God for what he gave them, thank God for what they have, and thank God for what he's going to give them. And it's interesting. I think it's probably not an accident. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, there's a parallel. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. As we're turning there, let's notice from what God commanded the Jews to do. He commanded them to be thankful for the things that God had already given them, thankful for the things that they just had, just generally, and then thank God for things that he hadn't even given them yet. To be thankful in all things. Okay, and then in 1 Thessalonians 5, by the way, in preparing this lesson, there's like 150 passages on thankfulness or thank or thanking. I mean, this is a huge topic in the New Testament. Got it? And in the Old Testament, by the way. So 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So to me, rejoice always is, to me, it's like the thank offering, thanking God for things he's already given us. Pray constantly. That reminds me of the vow offering, where we're asking God and thanking Him ahead of time for future blessings. Then He says, give thanks in all circumstances. To me, that's kind of like the free will offering, which is thanking God just for essentially for being God. And here's my Thanksgiving prayer for all y'all. Philippians 1, 3 through 6. By the way, we're going to end a little shorter today because I want to ask you to fill up the last, whatever, 10, 15 minutes with an assignment, a group assignment. Because if all you're doing is sitting there listening to me talk about being thankful, maybe a limited return on that, right? So we're going to do a little exercise together. Philippians 1, verse 3 through 6. But I just want to personally reflect myself right now on the things that I'm grateful for. Philippians 1, verse 3 through 6. And folks, I have a lot of things to be grateful for. You know that? It's hard even to even think about how much God has blessed me this year. He's blessed me with two amazing grandchildren. He blessed me with a beautiful partner who supports me even when I complain, which I did at least once today. And three children who are healthy and smart and responsible. And for y'all, all y'all, how many, you know, Jan and I should sit down, we should think about how many friends do we have in the church? And I'm talking about real friends. You know, it's hard to count. We've lived in like six or seven different cities since the two of us were baptized. But let me read Philippians 1, 3 through 6. Here's Paul speaking, but he's expressing kind of what I'm feeling on my heart. Thank you, Paul, for doing this. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. And by the way, I pray for almost all of you almost every day. I pray for all of you. You know, you can't, never mind. I was going to go off on a tangent. I'll just say, I pray for all of you for sure, often. All right. And yes, because of our partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this, that God, who began a good work in y'all, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that we have a partnership. You know, we have a family. And when we say we're going to give away 47 turkeys, you know what we do? We give away 47 turkeys. We do. And when we say to the community that we're going to have a Hope Dance thing, which, by the way, I hope we're going to be able to start, hopefully by February, we'll see, thanks to the vaccinations, hopefully we will. And then, and by God's grace, we do it. And brothers and sisters, I hope about a year from now, we're going to be getting close to 100 members in our church. I really believe God's going to do that. And we're going to be partners with our brothers and sisters in Fresno and Sacramento and Antelope Valley, and we're going to see a church planted in September of 2022. But we're going to have fun just being together doing it. I remember couple Sundays ago, Andrew, who's brand new Christian, he came to our church for the first time. He's come to things on Zoom. I remember he's just sitting around the table, and he's like saying, "This is amazing. I've never seen anything like that." And I'm like, "Yeah, amen. We get that all the time." Now, not as much lately as we'd want. And guess what? Now, his sister is studying, and his mom is studying. How about that? I thank my God every time I remember you, my beloved brothers and sisters in all my prayer for all of you. And I pray for you often. And I pray for you specifically. That's one of the reasons I call you. At least the guys, anyway. So I pray with joy because I believe that God will bring to completion the amazing things he's already planning on doing through us. Let's pray, and then I'll send us off to our groups. And thank you, God, for giving us this time tonight to really reflect on what you've given us. God, you've given us our bodies, you know? And even if our body's betraying us just a little bit, you know, we still have our bodies. You've given us breath. You've given us the ability to smell and to taste and to hear and to see and to touch. God, you've given us mental faculties, the ability to feel emotions and convictions and the ability to give and receive love from you and from one another, God. We are blessed with family. Some of us, honestly, in some ways, wish our family was better than it had been. But even for those of us in that situation, you've given us one another. God, we are thankful for this time tonight, and I pray we do a great little thankfulness exercise right now. In Jesus' name. All right, there's that slide with the passage I was supposed to be reading from. So here's the assignment. And again, if you don't have pen and paper, I guess you can do it by talking, but I think it'd be better to write it down. So I want us to do this. And by the way, if you're alone, maybe Zoom or FaceTime somebody else. I don't know. Maybe Cecilia and Karen, something like that. And so, because it'd be better if we did this with somebody else, if possible. Anyway, if there's somebody else in the home, let's do it. So what I want you to do is I want you to write down several, in quotes, big things that you're thankful for, and then several small things, in quotes, that you're thankful for. And then share them with each other. Just talk about it, all right? And just contemplate. And let's get into the spirit of Thanksgiving. And, you know, we're going to have smaller groups around our Thanksgiving table. Jan and I, we're used to 10, 12, 15 people. It's going to be us and our son. That's it. But you know what? We're going to do our best to be thankful because we have so much to be thankful for. Anyway, thanks for your attention, and let's form our groups. Monroe's going to open up the Zoom for fellowship, but people might come in there a little bit more slowly coming from their little groups. So thanks for coming tonight, and I hope you have a great last week before Thanksgiving, and hope to see a lot of you Saturday morning at the Mackey's house. Thanks.